Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, band and praise team as well. Good job this morning, and such good worship. And well, we finished another exciting, awesome August on a high note this past Wednesday. The good news is this coming Wednesday, we kick off a new campaign called Super September that I hope that you'll be a part of. Men's and women's ministry will be starting back on Wednesday night at 6:15. We'll start a new grief share class in the gathering place on Wednesday at 6:15. Ed and Lori Jones are going to teach it. And so if you're struggling coping with grief, if you've lost someone significant in your life and you're having a hard time moving forward and figuring out how to get past it, I pray that you'll consider coming to that grief share class. It'll go all the way through the holidays, and so it's helped a lot of people in our church. I think this will be the third or the fourth time that we've done the grief share class, and it's always been a big help. Also excited to announce that on Wednesdays at 6:15 in the sanctuary, Chase Henson is going to be teaching through the book of Joshua for 5 weeks. And Chase has been a pastor in Texas for the last 10 years, and he is incredibly gifted. And I'm not really sure how much longer he'll be here in our church and in this area, because I imagine very soon some church will come and scoop him up. And so I want to take advantage of his wisdom and intelligence while he's here and give him an opportunity and some space to teach in. And so he'll be doing that on Wednesday nights, going through the book of Jonah. Such an intriguing book. And so I'm really excited, but I want to share with you the bad news is come October, you're stuck with me. And I'm sorry to have to say that. All this good preaching will be behind us, and you'll be stuck with me on Wednesday nights. I'm also excited to announce that if you're interested in a senior adult Bible study on Tuesday mornings, we had a lot of success doing that. We're starting back this Tuesday. Larry Hines, a dear friend of mine, member of this church, Larry, raise your hand. I know you're humble, sitting right there on the second row behind Mark Jones. He's going to be teaching a six-week Bible study. You'll Get Through This is the name of the study. It'll be, is it 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock in the gathering place this Tuesday. And so you sign up for that. And let me just say this. If you aren't growing spiritually at this church, it's your fault, because we're offering a lot of opportunities for you to grow and to thrive in your spiritual life. And so take advantage of many of these studies and many of these opportunities to get into the Word of God with other members of this church. We're smack dab in the middle of the Ten Commandments that we're studying on Sunday mornings. And our mission in this series is to determine, are these Ten Commandments obsolete or absolute? Now, last week we looked at taking the Sabbath, keeping it holy, and resting, and we determined that the Sunday afternoon nap is absolute. It is absolutely absolute. If it ever becomes obsolete, I'm in trouble. Now, let me just encourage you. Sunday's a good day to nap, but don't start it till you get home. Now is not the time to nap. All right? I'm reminded of this lady who found the pastor after church. He was in the foyer and he was greeting, and she walked up to him. She said, "I'm sorry, my husband keeps getting up and walking out in your sermon." And he said, "You know, it's happened several weeks." He said, "It is a little bit distracting." She said, "I know, he's been walking in his sleep for years." So far we've talked about the first four commandments, and in these first four commandments, God keeps telling us to put Him first. It's all about Him, as He says, put me first. Don't misrepresent me through idols. Don't misuse my name. Last week, take a one day out of seven and honor me, worship me, and rest in me. Now God is going to switch direction in these Ten Commandments. And it's no longer going to be about our relationship with Him vertically, but now He's going to move to talking about our relationship with others horizontally. So out of all these Ten Commandments, this is the only positive commandment. Every word in it is totally positive. All the other commandments, God's telling us, do not do this. But in this one commandment today, He's telling us, do this. So look in your Bibles, if you would, at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is where I'm going to be reading today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And if you're there, say amen. The scripture says this, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Now, scholars universally agree that these Ten Commandments are placed in two different sections. And the first section is about our relationship with God, the first four commandments. But from the fifth commandment on, it now deals in our relationship with others. So the first four, how we relate to God. The last six, how we relate to others. And so as God begins that discussion of talking about our relationship to others, he starts by talking about our relationship with our family. He doesn't start by addressing leaders, telling them how to lead, or teachers telling them how to teach, or preachers telling them how to preach, but he starts by talking to sons and daughters, telling them how to treat your parents. In other words, if you cannot have a good relationship with the ones in your home, then you'll not be able to get along with the others in your life. If you cannot have a good relationship with those who are in your home, then you will not be able to have a good relationship with the other people in your life. So why should we take this commandment seriously? What's the big deal about this commandment? Well, one reason we should take it serious is because it comes with a really rich and beautiful promise. Look at what it says, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, what we have to understand this morning is that the home is the basic structure for all of society. And if the parents are honored in the home, then the chances are really good that God's going to be honored in the society. And so notice what it says. If we'll honor our parents, that we'll live a long time, most likely. Now, without honor and respect in the homes, the society becomes fragmented and usually crumbles. Now, let me just say, the reason that there's so much blatant disrespect in the schools, the reason there's so much disrespect in the streets, is because our children aren't learning respect in the homes. If children would learn to honor and to respect their mother and father, then the chances are they'll honor and respect the other authorities in their life. And so parents, hear me when I tell you this. This is vitally, critically, seriously important. Your children will not honor you unless you teach them to. Your children will not honor you unless you teach them to. The number one job as a parent is to not to be the coolest parents of all your children's parents. It's not to give your children what you didn't have growing up. It's not to teach your children to be successful or great athletes. Your number one job as a parent is to teach your kid to honor and to respect you. The word honor in the Hebrew, it's kind of an odd word. It means weighty. It means heavy. It means to treat something as though it had great weight. Now, in the Old Testament, ideally, if something had great weight, it meant it was more valuable. And that's fairly significant in this culture, too. If something is light, we don't say that it has great value. We'll say, oh, that guy, he's a lightweight. That means you don't need to take him serious. Or he's making light of the situation. That means don't take it serious. But in the Old Testament, if something was heavy, it meant it was valuable. Now, so that's what it says. You're to honor your parents because there's a lot at stake. It's really important. It's really weighty that you do. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go up to your mom and say, Mom, did you know that the Bible says you're weighty or you're with great weight? I'm not suggesting that you do that. But when it comes to learning the value of authority in the lives of our children, we cannot take it lightly. We cannot make light of it. This is one of the heaviest lessons for us as parents, is to teach our children how to relate to and respect the authority in their lives. And if we don't teach them young and teach them often, then they'll not know how to accept the authority in their school. They'll not know how to accept the authority in their careers. They'll not know how to accept the authority in the other relationships in their life. A child who grows up thinking and saying, nobody tells me what to do, and gets away with it, they're going to have a very difficult time as a student, as an employee, and as a productive member of society. We have to teach our children. We have to model our children. And so, Dad, let me just say this. If you're constantly coming home griping about your boss, the authority in your life, and saying, my boss is an idiot, then don't be surprised if your children don't take the authority in their life serious either. If you're coming home saying, Mom, if you're grown and your mom and dad is older, and you're saying, Mom and Dad is driving me crazy today, then don't be surprised if your kids say the same thing about you one day, because that's what you've modeled in front of them. And so the scripture is very clear, the benefits of practicing this commandment. One is longevity. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that God has given you. We've been commanded to honor our father and our mother in hopes that if we do that, if we honor, respect, and obey our parents, that God will give us a long life in this earth. And I know what you're thinking. How is obeying my parents going to ensure that I live a long life on this earth? Let me say, a lot of the young people that die tragically die because they're in a place that their parents warned them not to go, or they're doing something that their parents implored them not to do. And so we have to be so careful to honor our parents, to listen to our parents, to obey our parents, because sometimes tragedies happen because people are doing things that their parents beg them not to do. So chances are, there's no guarantee, but chances are you will live a long life if you honor, obey, and respect your parents. Now listen to some of these other verses that are in the scripture as well. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Should be on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says this: honor your father and your mother, so that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, there it is again, and so that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. So obey your father and mother, honor them, so that you may live long, and so that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. So that it there is the good hand of God's blessing. If you will honor your parents, then there's a great chance that largely that the hand of God's blessing will rest upon your life. You'll live possibly a longer life, but much more likely you'll live a better life because you've honored your father and your mother. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you notice the phrasing of that verse? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's no greater security in our lives than knowing that we're doing the right thing for God. Now, that word obey is an interesting word. The word obey means to respect with a pinch of fear. We're to respect our parents with a pinch of fear. How many of you feared your parents growing up? Now, I'll be honest with you, my mom was a pushover. I could have gotten away with murder with my mom. She'd let us do anything. But when I pushed the boundaries too far and mom said, you wait till your father gets home, that was a game changer for me. All right, it was over for me then. And so that's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. There's that word again, obey, to respect with a pinch of fear. And so we're to obey our parents, we're to respect them, we're to honor them, and when we do that, we please the Lord. And when we please the Lord with our attitudes and our actions, the good hand of God's blessings rest upon our life. And when we do that, we ensure that God will take care of us, that God will provide for us, that God will protect us, that God will comfort us, that God will console us. When we honor and respect and obey our parents, God is glorified and He's pleased. And if He's pleased, He provides for us incredible benefits in our life. Now, let me just say this to some of our young people today. Until you're out on your own, fully supporting yourself, the three primary relationships in your life are God and your two parents. The three primary relationships, the three primary authorities in your life, it's God and your parents. You may just have two parents. Some of you may have four parents. Several generations ago, the parents had four children, and now in this generation, the children have four parents in a lot of times. And so if you've got, no matter if you've got two parents or four parents, whatever, they're to be the primary authority in your life. Now, you may be sitting here wondering, what if I don't have good parents? What if my parents aren't godly? What if my parents aren't wise? What if my parents aren't worthy to be honored? Now, I know that not everybody had good parents. I realize that. I was blessed to have really good parents. I remember talking to my brother one time. I was probably 12 years old. We were sitting there talking. I'm worried about mom and dad. He said, what are you worried about? I said, well, dad's working two jobs. He's working every Saturday. He's working every Sunday, Monday through Friday. All mom does is cook and clean up after us and serve us. He said, what are you worried about? We got it made. I said, I'm worried they're going to escape. But maybe you didn't have that kind of upbringing. Maybe your upbringing was just the opposite. And maybe you had parents that just weren't good parents. But let me just say this. You didn't choose your parents. God did. And when you're honoring your parents, you're honoring God. And so this commandment applies to any and all parents. There's no exceptions. There's no exemptions to this commandment. And what you need to understand this morning is that no parent is perfect. We're all a work in progress. We're all just trying to figure things out. God is the only perfect parent in this universe. I don't know, maybe you heard about the parents of the kid walks in the door and the parents are sitting at the table and they said, son, just want to tell you, you have been expelled from school. And he said, wait a minute, I'm homeschooled. And they said, we know, get out. You might have had really bad parents. I don't know. Maybe your parents made a lot of mistakes raising you. Maybe they didn't know what they were doing. Maybe they were too young to really have children. Maybe they were a hot mess. But you've got to honor and respect who they are. And if you can't appreciate anything else about your parents, you can appreciate the fact that God used them to bring you into this world. They did at least one thing right one time. They conceived you. And after you were conceived, your poor mom dealt with a lot of morning sickness because of you. She had a lot of cramps because of you. She developed stretch marks because of you. She bit your dad's head off because of you. She sent your dad to Krispy Kreme at 2 o'clock in the morning to satisfy cravings that you caused. She fed you with a bottle. She spoon-fed you growing up. She changed your nasty diapers. They potty-trained you. They loved you through your terrible twos. They've hauled you back and forth to school for years. Regardless of their faults, regardless of their failures, they've given you something that nobody else could give you. They've given you life, and they've kept you alive. They deserve to be honored. And I want to say this, because I'd venture to say that we've got some folks here that your parents did a number on you. And maybe you had an abusive dad, an alcoholic dad. Maybe you've had a drug addict mom who lived in the streets, or a neurotic parent who just didn't do things right. They didn't know what they were doing. And even today, you harbor bitterness for how you were raised, and you're filled with resentment and anger for what your parents did or didn't do to you. It's a lot easier, unfortunately, as we get older, to remember the bad things instead of the good things. And we have a tendency to forget the things that we should remember, and we hold on to things that we should not forget. And let me just say this, and I'll move on. If you do not let your past die, it will not let you live. And so it's time to just let all that go. Let all those failures go. Let all those bad things that happened when you were a kid go. And just enjoy the fact that they gave you life and they kept you alive. Can I ask you this morning, when is the last time you called your mom and dad and said, thank you for giving me life and thank you for keeping me alive? Because I know it wasn't easy. You may think they didn't, but they sacrificed a lot to keep you. You may think they didn't, but they sacrificed a lot to feed you. They sacrificed a lot to keep a roof over your head. They sacrificed a lot to put clothes on your back. Do you know that today to raise a child is $300,000? $300,000 to raise a child today. Your parents deserve to be honored. If for no other reason, they could have had a lot more if you weren't born. You know, it's interesting in this commandment that the parents aren't commanded to love and to honor the children. You know why that is? Because it's automatic. As parents, we don't have to be told to love our children. We do. Now, there's some parents that don't know how to love them, but the love is automatic. I just thought that was interesting. It brings us to really the most important part of this commandment, And that is the question, how do we honor our parents? We've been commanded, we've been called to honor. How do we do it? Understand this, there's no age limit to this commandment. I had a guy tell me this morning, well, both of my parents are dead. How do I honor them? You honor their memory. You can still honor their memory. As long as your parents are alive, the commandment here is to honor and to respect them. It really depends, the best way to honor them really depends on the age and stage of life that you're in and your parents are in. If you're still a child, if you're a teenager, if you're a college student, if you're a young adult, and you're still living at home, you're still financially dependent on your parents, then you are to honor your parents by doing what they instruct you to do joyfully, lovingly, and immediately. If your parents tell you to turn off the video game and come to supper, do it. If they tell you to do your homework, do it then. If they tell you to take out the trash, then you do it then. Our teenagers are loving me right now, aren't you? They said, Chris, I thought you were on our side. I am. I love you guys. But listen, that's just what we've been called to do, to honor our parents. And if your parents are paying for your food, for your clothes, for your shelter, for your insurance, for your cell phone, they have a right to be the shot caller in your life. Why? Because of the sacrifices they're making for you. Because you're still dependent on them. Because they're still paying your bills. You need to honor them respectfully in both your actions and in your attitudes. You may not like it, and you certainly may not love it, but it's what the Bible commands us to do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Even the Lord Jesus, when he was young, he obeyed his parents. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says, but he, talking about Jesus, went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. Now, was he obedient to his parents because they knew more than he knew? No, he was a son of God. He had infinite knowledge. He knew everything. He knew more than his parents did, yet he still obeyed them. Did he obey them because they were morally superior to him? No, he's a son of God. He's morally superior to anybody else on this earth, yet he still obeyed his parents because it was the right thing to do and because it pleased his father. And so there's a great lesson in here. Parents, no matter how awesome you think your children are, no matter how godly they seem to be, no matter how gifted they are, how smart or talented or likable they are, your children still need to obey you. And if they choose to disobey you, then there needs to be consequences, there needs to be punishment. Now, many parents in our culture today, they don't believe in discipline. They don't believe in punishment. I'm not trying to argue the merits of spanking, but I'm just trying to tell you this. All children need and crave discipline. It's amazing how quickly we want to give our children what we think they need, but we fail to give them what they need the most, which is boundaries and consequences when they move outside of those boundaries. Parents, I say this morning tenderly and cautiously because I know I'm treading on dangerous grounds, but let me say this. If you constantly buying your children what you think will give them affection for you, but you're not giving them what they need the most, then you're doing them a disservice. And so the question is not how you discipline. The question is how consistently do you discipline? Well, I'm going to tell you what. When I was young, we didn't have timeouts. We had I'll take you out. And when the I take you out came out, I straightened out. Now it's one, two. No, don't make me say three. One, two. Now when I get to three, I'm serious. No, listen, there has to be consequences. You don't do your children any favors by letting them get by with stuff. We don't do them any favors by trying to be their buddy. They have to be taught to respect the authority in their home. They have to be trained to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. The goal of every parent is to provide a loving, caring, fun home in which mom and dad are the ones calling the shots. Someone wisely said, if you raise your children, you'll get to spoil your grandchildren. But if you spoil your children, you'll get to raise your grandchildren. And so we have to love our children enough to make them do right and make them obey. We have to teach them and train them to honor the parents. Well, some of you are sitting back feeling pretty good. But then there's a portion of you here who are my age and maybe a little bit older, and your parents have aged a good bit in the last few years. How do you honor them? If you've got parents that are retired like I do, who sit at home a good part of the day, the way you can honor them is to call them and check on them. The way you can honor them is to go by and see them. The way you can honor them is by texting them and let them know that you love them and appreciate them and are so thankful for them. Let me just say this. I'm so incredibly inspired by how well so many of you, I've watched you care for your aging parents. Many people in our church I've called and I said, what you up to? Well, getting ready. I got to take mom to a doctor's appointment today, or taking dad to the grocery store. Got to head over to Baptist Village and hang out with mom and dad for a little while today. And got to make sure that mom's taking her medicine. And you're doing a great job by honoring your parents at this age and this stage of life. And I applaud you, because the roles have reversed and no longer are they raising you and caring for you, but you're raising and caring for them. And I know it's not easy, but you hang in there, because it's what the Bible's instructed us to do. And if we'll model that before our children while they're young by caring for our parents, then our children will one day be willing to care for us. I read a story, and it's not a joke. It's a true story. This man was on up in age. His wife passed away, pretty advanced Parkinson's disease. And so his son and daughter-in-law decided to move him into their house. And they moved him in, and the care that he required was much more than they ever anticipated. And so they would eat supper at the table, and he would sit across from them. And because of his Parkinson's disease, a lot of times he would try to eat and put food in his mouth, and the food would fall out of his mouth. And it was very, very stressful for them to provide the care that he needed. And one night they were eating, the food fell out of his mouth onto the table, and the daughter-in-law said, "I can't take it anymore. I can't eat and enjoy my food. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with your dad, but it's driving me crazy." And he said, "Calm down." So they made him a little table over in the corner of the kitchen, and where he could be over there and them not be disturbed by his inability to put food in his mouth. And so it's several weeks later, this was working out fine, and he was over in the corner at his table at supper time, and he took the bowl. It was a nice bowl, and shook, and the bowl fell off the table, and it hit the kitchen floor, and it cracked. And the daughter said, "What now? That's one of my favorite bowls. You've got to be kidding me." And the dad said, "Look, let's try to work this out." And he said, "Tell you what, this table isn't working either. I don't know what to do." And so, true story, they made him a trough to eat out of. So one day, the parents whose children were small, they walked outside, and their little boy was out there, and he had some wood, and he was putting it together, and they went out there. They said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making a trough for you and Dad when y'all get old." And it broke their hearts to know how inhumanely they were treating their dad. And they went in, they said, "Dad, we are so sorry. You've got a place at our table because we love you and we care for you greatly." It's not easy to care for aging parents, but it is an honor and privilege to care for those who cared for us while we were growing up. And let me just say this, and we'll have our time of invitation. When is the last time you called your parents to thank them and to honor them just for being your parents? When's the last time you went over to their house and just sat with them and spent quality time? I know you're busy. I know you've got careers. I know you put in hours at the office. I know your kids are involved in Little League and karate and dance, and you're going 90 to nothing, and you're being run ragged. But God has given you your parents, and He's called you to honor them, to invest in them, to respect them. And I guarantee you, there are many people here in this auditorium today, they would give anything to call their parents one more time and have a conversation with them. And the fact that your parents are still alive and my parents are still alive, it leaves us to take this commandment seriously, to honor them. And parents, I want to just say this, and then I'll be finished. If you want your kids to honor you, then you live an honorable life. Your lifestyle will either be a building block or a stumbling block to teaching your children how to honor the authority in their lives. You can't insist that your children live one way while you live another. You've got to practice what you preach and live honorably and holy before your children. You've got to love them enough to discipline them consistently, and you've got to love them unconditionally. And when we do that, they will honor you. They'll respect you, and they'll obey you. What's the takeaway from this message today and this commandment? That things go better in this life when we honor our parents. It just does. President Bush was asked one time in an interview, they said, what are you the most proud of? All the achievements that you've been the President of the United States, you've had all these incredible positions over the course of your life. What are you the most proud of? And he said, what I'm the most proud of in my life is that my children still want to come home and see me. Parents, honor your children. Children, honor your parents. And this society will be a better society. Church will be a stronger church. And the witness of God, the gospel, will go forth where God is honored and pleased. Let's pray together. If you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no greater need. And today I just encourage you, I'll be standing down in the front, Rick will be standing down in the front, and you come as the Lord leads you to come. If there's a need, if you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, you come as He directs you to come. There's nothing you could do, there's no decision that you could make that would be a greater decision than the one to follow Jesus today. Maybe you're looking for a church to unite with and you've been attending here. We'd be so honored to have you. If the Lord's leading you to come today, you come as He leads. And maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe there's been some issues between you and your parents that have not been resolved. Or maybe there's some issue between you and an authority figure in your life that needs to be resolved. Whatever it is that God's leading you to do, and maybe you just need someone to pray with you about it, I'd be honored to do it. Rick would be honored to do it about it. The altars are open today. Whatever God's leading you to do, you follow Him in obedience. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You'd stir our hearts today for Your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'll be standing down front. You come as He leads.